When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Born Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson himself. Pete, how the devil are you doing? What's going on?
I'm good, baby doll. Chris, I saw on the internet someone had clipped a bit of your... a bit of CWA's stream, live stream.
Right.
And someone was telling tales on old PED.
Yeah?
How? It's a clip of CWA, really? And he's doing a stream, and somebody went, have you heard Pete Donaldson from the Abroad Japan podcast doing an impression of you, CWA? Connor.
Oh, God.
And he went, no, I haven't. And he played the clip, and it's me going, hello, I'm Connor. Rah, rah, rah. and I've done loads of impressions of him, and that was the least complimentary of all of them they managed to find. So I think this little, I'm going to say bellend, is trying to start some kind of beef between me and Cedo Vieira that is not warranted, to be quite frank.
It's definitely warranted. That'll be so much fun. That'll be so much fun watching.
I've been very complimentary about him. I said he's very tall, he's very handsome, he's got a beautiful voice.
Tall.
He was in an wasn't he in an anime recently? He got a
I don't know. I don't fucking know. I don't sit there watching what Connor does every week.
Jump down my throat. Algorithmic me, mate. I don't even get served your videos anymore.
It's horrible, isn't it?
What's C-Dog V up to?
Oh my God. Fuck.
So Chris,
if you watch one C-Dog VA video, you will get recommended everything. And there's like a billion clippers doing that. And, you know,
right.
Connor makes good videos, no doubt about that. But when you see 1,000 clips of him, I've had to like obliterate him out of my YouTube just because I'm so fed up. I'm trying to look at interesting videos of like cameras and cinematography. And a clip comes up with Connor being like just dropping chicken nuggets all over his fucking computer, laptop or something, all over his keyboard. Clipped from a live show on Twitch. Honestly, it's a nightmare. Horrible. Horrible rabbit hole.
So, Chris, since you've been away, you had a video demonetized. Now, I'm not sure I got the full story of this. Why did this one get demonetized? What horrors did you do in there?
You should listen to the Born Japan podcast, mate. You would have found out.
I know, I did. I did listen to a lot of it.
Bollocks.
But I had to, when I was uploading it, I did. I listened to Pete... What was Pete doing? I can't remember.
Pete?
Look, I've been travelling. I've been all over the place.
Oh, excuse me. Basically, I called a duck a C word. The C word, rather.
And that's all it takes.
Yep.
And that's all
the
it takes.
Word. The C word is instant demonetization because it's seen in America as a slur against a minority or ethnic something or other. Bit weird. I mean, you know, in New Zealand or Australia, people use the C word in the same way we'd use the word mate. And in the UK, it's a strong word, but we, you know... In America, though, if you use the C word...
Go to Glasgow. Good God. If you go to Glasgow...
Exactly. But obviously in America, in North America, the C word is just the worst thing you could possibly ever do. So, yeah, I called a duck the C word. And what annoyed me is I nearly cut that out. That was nearly not in the video. It's an outtake from the video. That's in Patreon. Every video I make basically is a Patreon behind the scenes sort of episode with a voiceover and talking about what happened, narration and outtakes and bloopers. And I put a few of them at the end of the video just to sort of sell the Patreon. And I remember I was talking to Connor and I heard quack, quack, quack in the background and I lost my train of thought, ruined my take. And I was like, that damn duck, what a massive C word. And I nearly didn't put it in the end of the video. Originally, I was like, well, I can't leave that in. I cut it. Yeah. And then I went, actually, I'm going to leave it in. Screw it. Break all the rules. And I put it in.
But what,
and I got stuff for it.
But what I did hear on the Abroad Jamal podcast on Sunday, actually, was you talking about how there's, you know, there needs to be a... There just needs to be better systems with this sort of thing. You need to have a... there needs to be a right to reply. There needs to be a system that certainly people who are producing huge amounts of profits for YouTube can rescue a video when it goes out.
I should have known better, but they should have mentioned it to me that was the reason, because it was very vague why it happened. Was it Connor topless in the thumbnail or in a bath? Was it the fact I referred to Connor in a bath naked as the Jeffrey Epstein experience? Was it the C word? I know there's so many things it could have been. If they'd just gone, just cut the C word out, I would have done it. And I did do that in the end. I got it manually reviewed. They turned it down. It was still demonetized. I made a big song and dance about it online, and lots of people tried to get to the bottom of it because lots of people watched the video and they couldn't find the point. They couldn't find the reason it was demonetized. I mean, yes, I realized that the C word is bad, but it's in like the closing 10 seconds of the video, which is a 29-minute video. To have an entire half hour demonetized because of that one four-letter word, it was a bit of a pain. But I edited it out. They eventually remonetized it, and the situation was averted. But I thought, as I said in the podcast, I thought it was this guy. I got a massive email, like, ranting about how I basically said the phrase Jesus fucking Christ, right, in the video. Common British, we say that quite a lot in the UK, but a guy, a very strong Christian, came at me and said that that's worse than saying the N-word because he believes in God and I shouldn't be insulting God, to which I felt like, does God really care? Surely God's got more things to worry about, like the fate of the entire universe. But he stops what he's doing because I say Jesus fucking Christ. I don't know. It was all a bit ridiculous. But I thought this guy sent me an email seconds after it got demonetized, and I felt like maybe he had done something, like he'd written into YouTube and written like, "Oh, Abroad Japan is a blasphemer. He's blaspheming his way through Japan," which is a series I start coming out next Tuesday, Blasphemy in Japan. But I thought it might be that. It wasn't. It was the C word. It was a duck. I'm going to go back to Niigata. I'm going to find that duck and exact my revenge with a knife and fork and a plate.
With a knife and fork.
But yeah, be careful what you say. No swearing. But yeah. All right. Look after yourself. We got a story this week from Lara, who says, "Dear Cracking Chris and Pretty Cool Pete, sorry to hear about the earthquake. I hope you're feeling okay." I am feeling okay, thank you, Lara. It's the studio is looking pretty good at the moment. Just as I was starting to enjoy it again, my ear exploded and I'm now deaf in my right ear. I suffer for my art. I suffer for Journey Across Japan. Coming out soon. I was watching your Asakusa video recently with Ryotaro, and I was reminded of the time my partner and I spent a month travelling around Japan way back in 2008. On our very first day in Japan, we spent an incredibly jet-lagged August day waiting for our ryokan room to be open to check in. While wandering around Asakusa, we stopped on the steps of the Sensoji Temple. I ended up being asked by an older Japanese gentleman if we were Japanese. When we replied that we were tourists from the UK travelling around, he very enthusiastically provided us with a whole host of recommended things to do around Tokyo and wrote us a list of events and drew us a little map. Good God, this is very elaborate. I don't know if this is... Where's this going? We were so grateful to him and to the many things he recommended. We would have been unlikely to find it in any guidebook. We ended up taking him on most of his recommendations, including going to a junior sumo tournament at the Sumo Museum and going to a Bon festival nearby. He had given us his email address so that we could email him later. By the time we returned to the UK... it was 2008, we didn't have smartphones. We found that he had already written to my boyfriend with a long email about his life and the facts about Japan. He even included his home address. He carried on writing to my boyfriend for up to a year later. We were mildly apprehensive about how to reply to the emails. Never got round to replying, though both of us still feel a bit guilty about never emailing back. I sometimes wonder if he was just lonely and wanted to make friends, or perhaps he just wanted to introduce people to Japan. We'll never know, because we're horrible people. Anyway, thank you for the podcast. Keep up the good work. All the best, guys. We listen while we cook the dinner. All the best from the UK, Lara. He didn't email back. That's very sad, isn't it?
He's waiting. There are so many points in my life where I sort of look back and I cringe that I did not go the extra mile and email back when I could have emailed back to people. But then, get a lot of emails,
effort,
don't you?
Effort, isn't
it? It's busy, isn't it? I got a few.
It's sad. It's because, you know, there's a guy just sitting there waiting on the steps of the Sensoji table. Sensoji table? What is that? It's the table where they eat the food. It's the Sensoji table. Yeah. I love the Sensoji table. Oh, God. Sensoji temple. He's just sitting there alone, holding his BlackBerry in 2008, waiting for an email to come back. And it just doesn't come. That's a really sad image, isn't it? That's sad.
So when I was on the radio, this woman would write me letters quite a lot, like, you know, physical letters and stuff. And
oh, wow.
She'd write just every week I'd get a new letter, just basically the same sort of thing. But one time she... Oh, God, I still think about this and it makes me cry. She invited me to her birthday party that she was having alone in her house. The problem with that kind of dynamic, you cannot encourage, you cannot reach out, you just can't, because like, where myself and my partner, who's had a similar job, you know, lasses are getting bothered all the time, you know what I mean? Lasses have to move through the world a little differently to men, so men can can reach out and sort of say, you know, and sort of get involved, but women can't, because there is a dynamic to it. There's a sexual dynamic to it. Sometimes, frequently, and you don't want to kind of.
You're saying there wasn't a sexual dynamic to you being invited to a birthday
party? Maybe there was, Chris. Maybe she was preparing a birthday feast of the flesh. But So men have a little bit more leeway, a little bit more freedom. But I just always think about that, those letters that she wrote, and you would occasionally get letters from people, and you try and do your best, but you just can't encourage, because you're just opening a door that you can't close, unfortunately.
I mean, you've got to be professional about it. I receive dozens of emails, messages, texts, all sorts every week, and obviously I don't reply, but I've had some pretty ropey requests in the past, like, I'm at this bar, come and meet me now in Tokyo, yada yada yada. Like, that happens quite a lot. I have people that are quite persistent. Never got a handwritten letter like that. Frequent handwritten letters. I suppose that was before the age of the email, or maybe the woman in question who wanted you at the bar.
Only a few years ago.
Tell me about the horse and carriage, Donaldson. Tell me about how you used to ride around on a horse answering letters from listeners who just wanted you to come to their birthday party. What do you think this guy was doing, though? Do you think he was a lonely man? Do you think he was a very nice man? Do you think he was actually trying to rope them into a cult of some sort? Which is my knee-jerk reaction to anyone who's friendly in Japan. They must be in a cult. Because being here 10 years, I've become so cynical about people approaching you, because it is a rare thing. You know, what do you think's going on here?
I think whenever I meet anyone who's on holiday, I'm like, fucking, I don't want to be their mates. I'm like, whoa, hello, how are you doing? What's going on? Yeah, I can understand it. Like, you just kind of, you want that person to have a good time in your country. You want them to love the people. So you kind of raise your game a little bit, don't you? So
I mean, British people don't.
This guy's just a bit lonely.
British people don't care about tourists. We have tourists. We would never do that. We would never be nice, would we?
I would go the extra mile. I wouldn't write them emails forever if I didn't get an email back, but yeah.
it's a heartwarming story, but also a sad story. But thank you, Laura.
Yeah.
Hopefully, if you come back 2023, many years later, you should go to Sensoji Temple and see if he's still waiting, sitting there on the steps, holding his phone, waiting for your email, waiting for that reply. What have we got, though? News of the week, Mr. Dawson. What we got?
Correct. is, you know, like how the Japanese are like rated as being like the healthiest in the world because they've got such an incredible lifespan, so to speak. Because they, you know,
indeed,
they do this and that. They do eat a lot of fucking salt.
Oh god, yeah.
Eat a lot of fucking salt. You know, it's one of the highest salt consuming in the world. Because I mean, everything's got bloody soy sauce in it. Everything's got this and that. But you know, you've got to look at how much sugar you're eating in your diet, how much fat, carbs, all that stuff. But you've also got to worry about salt, because that's the shit that gets in your heart and finds furs and pipes and kills you.
Yeah, and of course, Japan's got quite bad rates of stomach cancer, I think, because of the massive amount. Like, just drinking ramen every day. If you have a lot of ramen, which is basically just a puddle of salt, then that will really irritate your stomach and whatnot. So, yeah, it's a big deal, salt consumption here.
Yeah, so the this university, Kirin, the food producer, and Meiji University, have researched... They've done bits and bobs, and they have come up with a plan. They've developed a pair of electric chopsticks.
What? What do you mean?
It's this set of chopsticks. Have you ever sort of licked like a 9-volt battery?
Yes. Every day
and it's
when
like,
I wake up.
It gets buzz, you get a buzz on your tongue, but there's a slight aftertaste of like salt, isn't it? It's like a salty kind of metallic kind of taste.
Yeah, afterwards. Like a sharp metallic taste.
The actual taste, yeah. But it stimulates the bits and bobs on your tongue. And so they've developed this pair of chopsticks that can stimulate the taste of salt in foods with low salt content. So basically, you could be eating a low salt version of ramen.
Oh my god!
But if you're using these electric chopsticks, it will accentuate the taste of the monosodium glutamate, the MSG, and the salt, which gives you the flavors in the umami and in the miso soup and stuff like that. And they basically just conducted tests with a lot of subjects. They gave them like a gel with particular salt content, and they were asked to rate how salty it all tasted in order to set a benchmark. And so they basically have come up with these electricity-based chopsticks, and they work. It makes the food taste salty if there's a slight electric current going through the chopsticks, imperceptible to the actual palate, but it does accentuate the food that you're eating. Incredible.
So this is mental. So don't use salt, just electrocute your mouth while you eat the chips and while you eat the crisps.
Just get used to eating not quite so much salt. What I always find, like, you know, like how your taste buds don't work as well in the sky when you're flying around on an aeroplane.
Mm.
And like, good God, like I added like a full salt packet onto already salty chicken, and I could still barely taste the salt. And I was just like, why does it do that? Why does it change so much? I mean, I'm sure I could Google it, but it's just so interesting, like how certain atmosphere and certain situations mean that salt doesn't affect your palate quite so much. But this is really interesting. I'd be up for having a crack at some electrical chopsticks.
I mean, there's a photo with this, and it's just a guy holding chopsticks, and there's a cable like plugged into the wall coming out the back of one of the chopsticks, right? This looks really wrong.
They could probably have a tiny lithium-ion battery in there. They're just if you ever saw the Apple iPod brick that they made before they actually made the first iPod, you know, that's what prototyping is for, Chris. Don't worry about it.
All right. I do worry about it. I don't want to eat my salmon and have my bloody mouth electrocuted while I'm trying to dip it in soy sauce and dip it in my mouth. This is mental. I don't know how to feel about it. This is one of those daft inventions that's just going to be... It's just not really solving the problem properly. Just try and find a way to lower salt intake through education. Don't electrocute mouths. The same with these like weird radical experimental things in Japan that just don't ever go anywhere because they... this isn't the first time we've had technology like this, but like...
No.
Good God. I don't know how to feel about it. I think it could be an amazing tool for like an assassin, though. Like, just... assassinate people with electric chopsticks, like hand someone some chopsticks before they eat their dinner. They start eating their dinner, they put the salmon in their mouth, and then they just get electrocuted and die. Amazing tool. It could be like a James Bond gadget, right? Here's a new tool, 007. It's some Japanese chopsticks with a lithium-ion battery in the handle. It's ridiculous. But all right, if they put them on sale, I'll try and snap a pair up. I'll try and grab you a pair.
Don't snap them. You'll get electrocuted.
I'll get you a pair and some souvenirs, some omiyage, when I come back to the UK. We'll be back, guys, in just a moment with the fax machine and your comments, stories and questions.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
And we're back with the fax machine. What have we got this week from our listeners, Mr. Donaldson?
We got a message from Caitlin. Hey, Caitlin from Southwest Scotland. Hi, Omelette the Cream Chris and Pakari Sweat Pete. Huge fan of the podcast and the channel. I got a question for Chris. When you're hanging out with Natsuki and the cameras aren't rolling, do you speak mostly in English or Japanese or a mix of both? Thanks and keep the great work, guys. I really hope to visit Japan one day when the border finally reopens. It's got to be mostly Japanese, isn't it, Chris?
He speaks in between,
doesn't he, sometimes?
It is a mixture, depending on how tired I am. For example, on Journey Across Japan, the season we just filmed, I was really exhausted and tired. Of course, I said earlier, I burst my eardrum. I was a lot of pain throughout the series. It was a hell of a shoot. The most pain I've ever been through to film some videos. I don't think I spoke any Japanese to Natsuki because my brain just was not working. And if I haven't slept well, and if I'm exhausted, just the Japanese does not come out my head, out my mouth, and so generally it's a mixture of both, but when I'm really tired, it'll be English that I use. And Natsuki likes speaking English when we hang out because it's one of the few times that he can do it and practices English, and the more we're together, the better his English becomes, I think, so it's good for him to speak English when we're together, I think. Mainly English.
I very much enjoyed. Chucky sent me a sneak preview of what you guys were doing in Okinawa via text, and it was very much. I very much enjoyed Natsuki's trousers.
What? Natsuki's trousers?
He's wearing these funny swimming trousers or something.
Really? I don't remember
that. I think he's wearing swimming trousers, or certainly very, very long shorts.
You'll have to wait for the trailer coming out soon. I don't know if they'll feature. We got one here from Zachary. It says, "Hi, Chris and Pete. My name is Zachary from Gillingham in Kent. I've binge listened to every single episode of the podcast over the last 6 months as I go about my day doing various chores. Having grown up in Gillingham, we celebrate a festival every year called the William Adams Festival, which celebrates a sailor called William Adams, who was supposedly the first Englishman to sail to Japan and establish trade in 1613. The festival has many activities such as taiko drums, Japanese calligraphy, and various arts and food. My question is, are there any festivals in Japan of a similar fashion that celebrate English culture or important moments between England and Japan? Many thanks, guys. Keep up the great work. Zachary." We talked about this, actually. I think it was last week I talked about William Adams. I was telling Joey about this British dude who travelled to Japan for 2 years. I think it might be Pete, actually, American Pete. I told him the story. So, it's, of course, William Adams comes up now again. I don't think there are any festivals, to be honest. They celebrate St. Patrick's Day pretty well here. The Irish community really gets out in full force and everyone has fun. I don't think they really celebrate anything English, though. Do you know of anything, Pete? English culture celebrated?
Do we have that much interaction? Maybe there's like a big festival at that big fun fair that's based around England.
British Hills,
that's the one.
There's nothing there. Nothing to celebrate. So, no, Zachary, there's nothing. While you're off celebrating William Adams, the first British samurai in Gillingham, the people of Japan go about their daily lives. They celebrate nothing. Nothing at all from English culture. We've got one here from someone who hasn't written their name. Over to you, Pete.
Okie dokie. Hello, Chrisu. Do you happen to know if there's any popular services where a tourist can pay an hourly rate to hang with a Japan local, native or otherwise? I really want to see Japan, but I really don't want to fully do it solo, and I don't want to go to random places and awkwardly approach people for socialising. Thank you. Why not try like a dating app? That seems to be why people use dating apps out there.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a few friends that would come here and just go crazy with Tinder and have a lot of success being shown around. Tinder's actually an option. But there are tour guides that will show you around places. Like, you can hire a tour guide. Bit pricey. Certainly a lot pricier than Tinder, unless you go on a nice date to a fancy restaurant. I don't know. I think tour guides are probably the way, or Tinder. That's it, isn't it? Tour guide or Tinder. Could be a good game show. You meet someone who's just arrived at Narita Airport. You jump out on them, and you're like, "Right, Tinder or tour guides?" And they'll choose, and then that determines their fate.
Although the tour guide would be boring. Is so enamoured with you, he or she makes love,
becomes the Tinder,
and the tour guide becomes Tinder. A Tinder can't become a tour guide. Only one way, mate.
Sounds like a scientific equation gone wrong. Tinder can't become a tour guide. But yeah, I don't know. Those are your best few options. Good luck. Or just get drunk, go to a bar, make some friends. Or do what Lara did at the start of this podcast, go to the Sensoji Temple, sit on the steps, wait for the man there to approach you and give you a whirlwind tour and make you a hand-drawn map. Do that. Get a free tour guide. Bargain. This is pretty lucky. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming in, guys, to abroadjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back later in the week to do it all over again. But for now, no matter where you might be out there in the big wide world, have yourself a great few days. And we'll be right back here to do it all over again on the Abroad Japan Podcast. Bye for now.
Farewell.
Tinder or tour guide. I like
Tinder
that.
Tinder or tour guide. Coming to Netflix soon.
Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen,
premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.